The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teachings, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplace, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor in banquets. They devour the house of widows and as a pretext to recite lengthy prayers. They will see very little severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put large sums. A poor widow also came upon with two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, was contributed all she had and her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate a very special weekend. This is the National Vocation Awareness Week. And so this Sunday has been designated to pray for and to talk about vocations in the church, especially to the priesthood and religious life. It's time for someone to step up and become a priest. Are you ready? Okay, it could be you. It's really just a little thing to do, isn't it, in return for what the Lord has given us? Just a little thing, right? Well, the gospel today tells us something about the little and the great, about smallness and bigness. We tend to be impressed by scale, by outward show, or by the popular extent of a celebrity. So we ask, does scale, the measure of vastness, and that other quality, significance and meaning, always go together? If bigness is the most important criterion, then a whale should be the image of God, right? Not a mere human being. But in fact, it is that little creature, man, who is the image of God, not the whale. And our tiniest actions can have enormous significance. The widow's mite in the gospel, the gift of the smallest coins in circulation, was heroic and sacrificial enough to make her a hero, a saint. Her little coin sent a vibration through the entire offering basket, reverberating even unto the heart of Jesus, who witnessed her faith. A much more significant act than the greatest leap and crash of Leviathan the whale playing in the deep. St. Luke places the story of the widow's gift immediately before the last scenes of his gospel. Then comes the end of all things and the passion. The death of the Messiah was, to most people at that time, an insignificant thing. They thought it hardly worth a three-word notice if there had been a Jerusalem Gazette. Crucified criminal dies, period. And then on to the celebrity gossip section. But that little thing, a crucified criminal, contained an unlimited power beyond all the vastness of heaven and earth. He who has faith in the little, so too the great, but he who neglects the little falls by little and little. Being called to the priesthood, it's just a little thing. But listen, a simple act of faith is a little thing. God, thank you for today. A venial sin is a little thing too. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Well, let me tell you this. But it starts to add up. The little on either side, after days and weeks and months, they become very significant. A book is made from little words and sentences. In our life is made from choices, little acts of faith. For me, those moments of seeking the Lord led to a very significant thing, ordination to the priesthood, in the celebration of the sacraments with you, God's people. But it took little leaps of faith over and over, staying on the trail of what was in my heart. a frequent placing of the small coins of faith into the open heart of our Lord. And he did bless them and multiply them. He blessed what I could give him. And he does this for anyone who seeks him. This is National Vocation Awareness Week, and I want to share that one of the things I love most about being a priest is participating in the healing ministry of the sacraments, especially hearing confessions. I know from experience on both sides of the confessional, as a penitent seeking forgiveness and healing, and as a priest representing Christ, that the sacrament has a power found nowhere else in the world. It is such a little thing to have the faith to step into the confessional for a minute or two, but after the priest absolves you, you leave and do your penance, give thanks to God. 6 great effects are given to you. First, reconciliation with God, by which the penitent recovers grace. Reconciliation with God himself. The second is the reconciliation with the church and its members. We reconcile with each other through confession. Third is the remission of eternal punishment due to sin. Fourth is the remission, at least in part, of temporal punishment resulting from sin, and we'll talk about that in just a minute a little bit more. The fifth effect of confession is peace and serenity of conscience and spiritual consolation. And finally, an increase of spiritual strength for the Christian battle to avoid sins in the future. Now, that is an awesome list of real effects, although there may be some satisfaction still required, such as returning stolen goods, apologies to people wronged, and the healing of the disorder caused by sin, both in this life, because we still have memories of past events, and even physical and emotional healing that needs to take place, but also in the life to come. That's why we pray for the souls in purgatory who suffer purification, although their future in heaven is secured. This month, especially of November, if you visit the cemetery and pray for the intention of the souls in purgatory, you also receive relief from the temporal pain that results in purgatory. So we also have some healing to do after a good confession, even though eternal punishment is removed, because some temporal punishment remains. To illustrate, imagine this. A man is walking down the street in anger. He suddenly lashes out at his own image in a window, and he punches through the glass. Immediately he feels the pain. He hears the crash. He hears the glass crashing on the concrete, and he sees the blood dripping from his hand. And he says to himself, "What have I done? How stupid. I am so sorry." The police are called, and the owner of the store comes out. And finally, after a lot of discussion, they come to an agreement. The man apologizes, he pays for a new window, and he sweeps up the mess. The store owner forgives him and even offers his help for what caused the angry incident. So the guilt of breaking the glass has been removed, the relationship of the store owner and the man is restored, the new glass is installed and the mess cleaned up, and there is help to prevent future events. But something remains. What's that? The healing of the man's arm itself. And that takes time, hence purification and purgatory. Very real, but very little compared to what has been healed. As a priest, I get to experience the healing power of confession many times a week, witnessing the anxiety and pain of people who walk into the confessional, and the relief, the tears of thanksgiving, the peace and the serenity on the faces of the faithful who are reconciled to God. And it's not only the church who knows the power of confessional, but psychologists noted that among their patients, there was hardly one who went to regular confession. And they said that if they had that powerful sacrament available and for free, they wouldn't pay to go to a psychologist either. But those psychologists were not Catholic, so they couldn't come, which is very sad. But the only thing sadder is the Catholic out there who is suffering so grievously from sin. Their conscience is burning and torturing them, but they stay away from the healing peace and serenity of reconciliation. Some people even make the disastrous decision to go on receiving communion when they haven't been to confession for years. But it is an obligation to go to sacramental confession at least once a year. After a serious sin, even if we experience deep contrition at home, we must receive sacramental absolution in the confessional before receiving communion. It's really best to go to confession once a month or every 2 weeks. Now, somehow, your guardian angels must have known I was going to be preaching about this, because there was a wonderful line for confessions today. I was so happy to see it. I said, prayer really works, you know. Our guardian angels are communicating. I didn't even tell you, and you're already here. But I want more to come. There's no meditation you can do at home, no self-help book, no pill or other method that has the divine power to heal and remove sins as does confession administered by a Catholic priest. Jesus Christ, the one priest, is the power, and it comes through his ordained ministers as through a lightning rod. It's my sacred obligation and greatest joy every week to be available to you for confession. Never hesitate to come to confession and renew your heart. As you know, we always offer confession Saturdays at 3 p.m. here in the main church, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. in the chapel, and Fridays at 10:30 a.m. also in the chapel. Although I was late to confessions this week on Wednesday, that was my fault. But usually I'm there on time. Confession is just one of the sacraments, one aspect of being a priest. And all of the sacraments must be available around the world at all times. The next generation of priests must be formed and answer the call to save thousands of souls. A priest is just an ordinary person who hears that extraordinary call from the Lord. You, come and follow me. I have work for you to do. I have people for you to heal. I have souls for you to baptize. I am the good word you must preach. You say you only have two small coins. You only have such little natural gifts to give to God. Well, put your little act of faith into the heart of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit, who rules over all creation with his wings of fire, fan them into flames. Trust in him. If you hear this and you feel in your heart the truth that you might be called to the priesthood or religious life, well, then guess what? You probably are being called. I want you to contact Father Brian Bittner in the Office of Vocations. Okay, contact Father Brian Bittner in the Office of Vocations. There are some listening to this very homily, both here and on the radio recording, who will become priests and religious, who will live in religious houses of formation, and who will bring Jesus to so many waiting souls that hunger and thirst for holiness. And some of you will say, I'm too young. Well, you got some years to grow up. Others, I'm too old. But the seminary I graduated from, Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary, was actually established for older vocations. You have to be between the ages of 30 and 60 to even apply. Our mascot is the relics. But many of my classmates were widowers or had annulments and had grown children of their own. So whether you think you're being called for the first time or you've been thinking about the priesthood and religious life for many years, there's always hope. There's always the possibility that you can become a priest. Contact Father Brian Bittner in the Vocations Office today on this National Vocation Awareness Week. And may the Lord call many to the priesthood for all the future generations.